This is a Baby Brunch podcast. No matter what happens, they come running, eh? I'm the best mom for them.
Yeah.
Best.
Yeah. But they'll have their own experiences of you.
Mm-hmm.
And when the time comes, they'll be able to even throw it back into you and says, Mom, you're a better grandmother.
I'll be extraordinary. This podcast is supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. The range of Epimax Baby and Junior Gentle All-Purpose Emollient Moisturizers is an all-day, everyday favorite for babies and children. Give your child a good start to every day by nourishing and protecting their skin with Epimax. Father's Day recordings is usually our most emotional and our hardest recordings. We did one 2 years ago, Sian Sonderpaas, with one of my favorite journalists. I don't have many journalists that I like, but this one is one of my favorites. And if you want to listen to that podcast, you can go back in it. And some of it is in English, some of it is in Afrikaans. But the gist of the recording is about growing up without a dad. And you know, Thibaut, I'm in the privileged position, like most of us, where I still have my father, but my dad is like my best friend.
Yeah.
You know, my dad said to me this morning, and I don't want to make this about me, but I want to extend this blessing that my father gave me this morning. He says, you know, a blessing goes a long way, he says to me. He says, Ilana, a blessing goes a long way. So when your parents blesses you, no matter who they are, when they extend a blessing, you must take it and you must know that a blessing goes a long way.
That is if you have the blessing of having an expressive parent. We don't forget, you and I are a generation that comes after generation that didn't really get any expression from their own parents, didn't get any words of affirmation or even just affection from their own parents. All they know is love in action. They just know they were loved. But you ask them to, you know, say it or put it in words, they don't know. A hug is something you need to teach them. So we end up being a generation that actually repairs the, you know, the wounds of the past by teaching our parents on how to love us better. So you are blessed, yes, in the way that you have an expressive father. My wife has had an expressive father. So she knows what I love you from a dad is. So I'm raised by a generation that were more on action than they were on words. So I had to learn, unlearn and relearn because I'm raising boys, four boys and a girl. Because my kids are expressive. Their emotional language is there. It's bare for you to see. So you immediately realize that it's true when they say this life is actually a journey to experience what life should be for you. And that's why even in my book I talk about whatever happens doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. Because we are on a journey here to learn, relearn, and unlearn. So I echo your father's words that when you can get it verbally from them while they're still alive, listen to me, take those words and fly.
Most of us feel that our parents are better parents to our little ones.
Well, that's what grandparents are. Grandparents are parents. What's the word I'm looking for? Grandparents are parents who are now correcting the mistakes they did with their own kids. That's why there's nothing like a grandparent. Nothing like a grandparent, because you can tell. I still remember the warmth of my grandmother, even though she passed on when I was four. Should you say I must go to that moment, I will go to it vividly. And that's what grandparents are.
Could they not have gotten it right the first time with us?
you'll see what's going to happen with you, Granny, when your time comes.
Can I tell you, I preach to my kids the following. I brainwash them, okay? Even when I make mistakes. I say to them, do you know that I am the best mother? And then the little one, she'll say, no, you're not.
Yeah.
And the older one will say, yes, you are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And no matter what happens, they come running, eh? I'm the best mom for them.
Yeah.
Best.
Yeah. But they'll have their own experiences of you.
Mm-hmm.
And when the time comes, they'll be able to even throw it back into you and says, mom, you're a better grandmother.
I'll be extraordinary.
Thank you for having me.
With a radio career spanning more than 3 decades, Thabo Tibo's Mokwele. He brings topics to the airwaves that challenges and evokes human introspection and dialogue with his audiences. Pause, a compilation of Thabo's pools of wisdom and lessons about life, God, money, relationships, parenting, and most importantly, self-mastery. His knowledge has been acquired by reading other philosophers' views on life and love, from interviewing entrepreneurs and entertainers about self-sufficiency and preachers and teachers about self-mastery. I mean, I read this about you, and I always think biographies are so limiting, man. I find them.
Yeah.
It's like, Tibo's is an author, and all this thing could have said is he's a great father and he rethinks and he loves and he does. Happy Father's Day.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I nearly said to you too.
Sure. You can.
You can't claim it.
Of course I can.
No.
No. You know why? Because my husband and I, we don't babysit. We parent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this morning woke up teary because I thought of the notion of au pair. It's a very, there's certain words that can poke you. That hurts, like, ow.
Mm.
The word au pair, when I say it, it breaks my heart, eh? And this morning, that's how I woke up, because my husband and I, we don't have babysitters or, you know,
yeah.
we parent our own kids. And often, when I'm not home, they will call daddy, and when dad's not home, they'll call daddy, and I'll respond, yes. So I know that they're just looking for a parent.
Oh, yeah.
And often, when I'm driving the car, they'll go, daddy, today is, they call me daddy. And often, often when I'm not home, they'll call for mommy and he'll answer because he knows that they're just looking for someone there.
Which is great balance.
Thank you.
What you're teaching them is balance. That is not about gender roles or anything like that. It's about having somebody there to play their role to the fullest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is great.
What do you love about being a father?
Oh, man. I can tell you, I think the best way to describe that is, you know, at the moment of birth, I was there for all of them when they were getting, when they were born. And it's one thing to cut the umbilical cord, right? It's another when they put them in your hands.
Yeah.
Because it is at that moment where you realize there's something bigger than you. And I think more than anything, for me, is the driving force behind why I do what I do. I love it. I'm passionate about it. I'm self-motivated for it.
Mm.
But I have now more wind behind that. Beneath that is the fact that I've got these lives that look up to me, that I'm responsible for. But I've also humble enough to understand that they are not of my own. They are
hard for me, that one.
Yes. These are God's seeds. I'm just a caretaker because he trusted me to be the incubator. You know Khalil Gibran? I don't know if you listen to Khalil Gibran. Khalil Gibran, the prophet they call him, has written a poem called The Children. And it one of the most, and I'm glad I read that before I could even become a, call it present father, so to speak. Khalil Gibran says, these kids are not of our own. We are nothing but bows and they are arrows. Ours is to stretch back, aim them to the target, and let go when the time comes.
I want to hold on.
No.
I want to hold. Oh, it's the hardest. You know what?
Yes.
So I'm on the other side of the umbilical cord. While you get to hold the baby and cut the umbilical cord,
right.
I'm going, my baby is outside of my body. That's I remember right. the first day I had to drop my kid at kindergarten, whatever, creche,
yeah.
you know. I vomited. I couldn't. It yeah. was probably, it's yeah. one of the hardest,
yeah.
It's one of the hardest emotions that I've ever experienced. And I was already pregnant with my second one. And having to leave SEBC at a creche. Guys, I did not cope.
Yeah.
I still don't. When I think of that moment and when I think of her little career.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I still don't cope thinking about it. It is a very hard emotion for me to.
And fathers go through it too. You realize that for the first time you have more than one heart.
How many do you have?
5, 6. If you count them all, because even in that 6, I haven't included my wives.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give a simple example. I remember she was like, I can't stand my kids crying. You have to do the inoculations.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I'm really scared of more than anything, because as a father, your first reaction or instinct is to protect.
Mm-hmm.
And there I was. And then the inoculations, I must apply them on the thigh. And he wailed. Right there, I understood what the other heart is. When you wish you could just take away the pain and let them get the benefit. And for me, is those experiences that I sometimes wonder, when you say, I have a child, but I don't know where they are,
mm-hmm.
or not even care for them, the opportunities you deny yourself. Like I said, this is a journey to experience life in its fullest. The highs, the lows, the wide and the narrow. And a child has a way of, if you've been watching a movie in 3D, a child is 5D. Okay, so don't deny yourself of that experience. Will they irritate you? Of course, they're human.
It's intense.
Yes. Will they stretch your mind? Oh, trust me, they will, because they don't see the world the way you do.
Mm-hmm.
They'll open you to a new reality that you never thought you'll even allow yourself to see that it exists, right? And not only that. Should you let them, they will unlock the inner child. Something that maybe because of your past, you have locked and forgotten, or because of what life has thrown at you and you need to survive, you have no choice but to numb the inner child. Yet the only true person in your body who really knows you and what you are about is right inside of you. And your child is a way of reigniting that. Only if you allow yourself. Don't let them. It's not about letting them. It's allowing yourself to let them in.
Through this platform and through these questions and even through my babies, eh? I feel like I was born again every time.
Yeah.
I really love being their mother. I love being in a place where I relearn, where my favorite part is doing homework. I mean, it's easy to love them. Like, that's yeah. just, but I love seeing how they learn. And I enjoy that time where we learn together, where I relearn some of the things that I might have forgotten about.
Yes.
Tell me about your home setup. How many babies, who do you go home to? When Thibaut's Mokwele, Thabo, when you go home, who do you go to?
I go to my beautiful wife, who has basically raised all 5 of my kids. And that's the home we have built. Even my friends know, even at work, they know that if I'm not at work, I'm home.
Mm.
There's no in-between with me.
Yeah, get it.
So work, business meeting, or I'm home.
Mm.
So you'll find me in either of those 3. So it's easy to get me. Whatever get me means. So that's who I go to. Where it comes from, is because of the environment that me and her always wanted. Build a house, create a home where all we can think of is to run to. A solace.
Mm.
A pleasure dome. A house of love, laughter, music. Aroma of great food. A place where you can hear noises from music to kids playing to dogs barking. Right? So it's an environment that I think will have the emptiness syndrome. I think we'll feel it more than any other, because by that time when they are all gone, because they have to start their own life, it will be so quiet. But at least we'll still have each other. We'll still have music playing in the house. So that's the house we're coming to, that I rush to every time I don't have to do anything else. And I have found it to be my center. And from that center, you can conquer anything. I normally say a dog that really, really bites is the one that is chained, because it knows why.
Mm.
You know, it has a reference point from which to fight. And I'm that dog.
Tell me about your babies. So there's five of them.
Five! before I got married, I had two.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, my wife helped raise these two.
Mm.
One is old enough to be an industrial engineer.
Love that.
My daughter's just passed her CTA, so she's busy with her board exams to be the CA.
Well done, Daddy.
Thank you.
Well done, Mom. Yeah. Good luck to you.
That's right. The firstborn of the marriage is 20, turning 21. Avid golfer. Lawyer in the making. He's doing his first degree, and then his last year of the first degree, because he has to do the second one. He wants to continue further, which is great. And we still have a 13 and a 4 and a 10-year-old, budding soccer player. The last born is a tennis player. So it's a busy house.
Mm.
But like I said, love, music, food, laughter is at the center of it all.
Because I have a great relationship with my father.
Yeah.
I'm always curious about people's energy and wisdom. You know, what's your relationship like with your own dad?
Oh, man. We lost him in 2015.
I'm sorry.
It
was a good year. My baby was born there.
Hey, look at you. So he lost his wife, my mom, in 2000.
Okay.
So we then realized we were two bulls in a crawl, so to speak, because we were fighting over this queen, you know, because we wanted her attention. And then when she was gone, we realized,
it's just us.
We have no one. We have no one but each other.
Aww.
And then we had an amazing 15 years together. What a wise man. It's just unfortunate that education ended because of the dark days of our country.
Mm.
That man would have made an amazing advocate or lawyer. I have watched him in awe in family situations. And I'm like, how did you diffuse that?
Mm.
And I think that's where I get this, my face the music sort of attitude. Because that man faced any kind of music.
Right.
There's no room he can't walk into. There's no problem too complex for him to solve. The humor, the ability to even just basically crack open a tense situation with laughter, the sense of style, the self-respect, the way he walked. He was just a model, man.
Mm.
Punctuality is one of the things that he ingrained in me, I mean, a long time ago. When you say 1 o'clock, I'm here 20 minutes before. I don't care. I'd rather be like, yo,
I'm laughing.
He's early. No, I'm on time.
Do you know that for some reason I knew that about you?
Is it?
We were ready, the team and I, we were ready at like 8:30 already. What did I say to you, Matabs? Matabs is on the other side of our video, right? Yeah. And Sotsiaka, he's busy doing that. But I told them, this guy is going to be early. Yeah. And you were.
Yes.
And you were. I'm also laughing because, you know, when it's 8 o'clock,
yeah,
and Dad says he's leaving at 8.
Yeah.
Yo, Sunday's church. My dad, also punctual.
Yes.
Do you know that I made it a point up until 2 years ago? I mean, I had to go for therapy. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I am always late. Hmm. My father, 8 o'clock in our household growing up, we are leaving for church. Do you know that my brother and I, this is not a word of a lie, have run behind that car on our way to church because you knew you had responsibilities in the church, right? Like you had to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
My dad will leave you at the house because he is leaving at 8.
That's right. That's right. And I, without,
thank you, Daddy.
Without asking why punctuality, I simply learned it later on in life that it's actually respect. It shows your guest, your host, actually, that you really respect them, you know. Whether the meeting will go well or not, the bottom line is you are on time. And that's how you start winning, right? Because if there's anything that when they leave the room or when you leave the room, they'll say about you, is like, what a guy, what a lady. Because they respected the occasion. They respected the invitation. And that's the man I'm talking about. That's the man that was a laborer. In fact, my mom was more educated than him. You go to him for a pair of sneakers. Trust me, you're going to come back disappointed. Right? 30 minutes later, you go and ask for a textbook. He'll whip out money immediately.
Wow.
So for me, I remember telling my cousins even this and saying, I didn't know what the Minister of Education is. I saw it.
Right. You experienced it.
I lived it. And he's the man who said to me, and I'm sure he heard the saying, his phrase from somewhere, but for me, it's my dad's words when he said, education is the wealth I'll give you that no one can take away. So no matter what you do, no matter where you are, that knowledge is yours. So if I give you education, I know I've invested well. To a point that it was very difficult for me to even take shortcuts. I'm a chemical engineer by training, but I do radio. During my second year of varsity doing the engineering degree, I got an offer to do a radio show, Radio Bob. I said no. With all the pecs, I said no, because I had to finish this. Because the sacrifice is way bigger than what I'm about to get out of it. To this very day, I still continue studying. I'm sitting now with a master's in strategic marketing, purely because of the love of education that instilled in both my sister and I. Because we're just the two of us. I'm the one who just decided to, you know, put a multiplication sign in terms of how to make babies. He said, two is enough, bro. I said, no, bro.
Mm-mm.
You were lazy. I'm going to make five. Mm. Okay? So
I wish I had more. I do. Yeah.
Still young.
Yeah. I know. I checked.
And it's Father's Day.
Yay.
Brother, you heard me.
Ian. Pressure. I wanna bring this in. And I'm sorry that I'm using my own experiences, but I know that someone will relate to it, right? I once, as a radio topic, brought this to my audience, and it had nothing to do with Father's Day. It had to do with being a woman. And the response that I'm really wanting from you is the role of a father and a dad and a man, all right? So I brought this to my radio show where I said, I went for a run, and I saw a father coming on with his two dogs, and his wife was pushing the pram. And the pram and the lady gives way on the footpath, but the dad with the dogs keeps walking because I need to give way for the man and the dogs. And I came home feeling truly disappointed, you know.
Mm.
Why must I give way for a dog, you know? Couldn't the man just, couldn't, you know?
Yeah.
I'll give you another scenario. I am standing in front of my house on Monday, and I'm on the phone, and the next moment I hear, get out of the way, excuse me. And I feel a pat on my back. And I realized while I'm on the phone,
And that was ouch, by the way.
Good, because I just took it out on you, because I know you can take it. I realized that this elderly guy, not elderly, he's your age, but he doesn't look as young as you.
He doesn't jog.
He ran past me, but because I was standing on the pathway, he hit me. He hit me, T-Bose. I was like, did that just happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
I finished my phone call.
So chivalry is dead, you say?
Even though, you know, we pat each other on the back all the time. But because it bothered me about who this man, who this father is, and I have young kids living in this house, how can you... My words were, how can you hit me in my own driveway? Now, my examples are petty, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There are women out there who are in situations where they are questioning bigger, much, much, much bigger, much fierce, more fierce, really unfair circumstances where they think, the man in my life can't protect me. Why is he like this? You know, is there no podcast that can help him just be better? I do everything myself. Help him, give him a guide. Oh, we're doing a marriage course, but he never rocks up, only I do. There's a lot of commentaries out there, situation scenarios, of women who really feel like we want to celebrate Father's Day, we'll give him this day. But then tomorrow we're going to tell him the truth again, you know, because...
You must never let the world you live in, regardless of its rules and regulations and constitutions and laws, change the human in you. You are human first, gender second. Me being gentlemanly, it's human. Me giving way because there's a lady approaching is gentlemanly, it's human. It's the human thing to do. Because we are equals, it doesn't mean, therefore, I find your way. Huh? When I can see you are just about to walk through that door, it takes away nothing from me. However, it boosts and it anchors the human / gentleman in me to keep that door open for you to walk in. We have allowed politics / country laws dictate who we should be, when it should be the other way around. Are you telling me now, let's take it biblical, are you telling me now, should the state decide that now, as an example, hey, prostitution is legal. It is legal for a woman to buy, for a man to buy. Are you therefore saying that constitution will now soon apply into your marriage, even though you don't believe in that? Why would you say no to that law in your own house? Why? Because you know it changes the center of who you are and what you are about. You will never let that happen. So why are you then allowing it in certain situations, like while you're walking a door and there's a lady approaching? You don't want to give way. You are chivalrous by nature because you wouldn't treat your own mother the same way as a man. You wouldn't treat your daughter as a father the same way. Why would you treat another woman the same way? So, I hate to see situations where environment is allowed or people allow environment to change their state in terms of who they are. It therefore means you didn't know who you were in the first place. Because you've allowed me to walk in and say, hey, you know you're the man of the house, Elana. No, he must babysit. I'm even changing the terminology in your house. An outsider who doesn't even understand the nuances, the environment that you are creating, and you allow that in. Why? We have given away so much power to people we don't know. who don't even care much about us.
Mm-hmm.
And we let them dictate how we should behave still. And that is wrong. And it's not theirs. Their mistake is ours. Because we have let them in to such an extent that they even alter the way we behave. That is wrong. And it's on your head, not theirs.
How do you start a journey to wisdom? I mean, no, it, you know, you
allow yourself to make mistakes.
But we want to empower the fathers of our children to not just have a happy Father's Day, but to grow in our marriages. And we want to appreciate the fathers in our lives. And please God, may they have wealth and happiness and wisdom. There's certain things that happened in your own life that has allowed you to have that. You've written a book. It's a beautiful book, you know. We all maybe need to pause and ask ourselves a few questions.
Mm-hmm.
How do we start that journey to wisdom?
You see, first of all, I wrote that book because I felt there are certain tenets to what we call wisdom, right? I don't care which house you were raised in. And those tenets sort of apply to each and every one of us. Some will call it values. And I felt, wait a minute. Why is it some families will teach it, others won't?
Mm.
Why don't you just put it in a book? But as from my personal experience. Mm. My personal, that book is about my personal experience as a conversation starter.
Mm.
You are a single mother raising a boy, as an example. And your boy keeps bugging you, especially from 12 years of age. They start bugging you because there's something they need, an affirmation, a certain male voice. That's the book you give them.
Mm.
Read this. Because these are the things you and I should have known before we could even know what it is to kiss a boy.
Mm.
About the workings of the world. About spirituality. Whether you want to be or not. Right? About money. About relationships. The choices we make. Why don't you read them? Because I would rather have a child ask questions, right, than a child not knowing anything.
Mm.
It's easier when a child says to you, what did Uncle T on pause mean when he said, things happen for you, not to you?
Mm.
Did you have something like that, Ma? Did it happen to you as well, Ma? It's easier then to converse because now you're telling your story. They came through you for a reason because they need your experience for them to survive the next episodes of their life. Wisdom is exactly that. You allowing yourself not be shameful of what you have gone through to teach it to the next. Because our job, you and I, Elana, now that we are parents, is to raise the bar. There's a chapter in the book called Do Better Than Your Father.
I say this all the time. So this is how I say it, that our children are better than us.
They need to be.
Mm.
You have failed if they are not.
Mm.
Actually, you have failed if you're not better than your parents,
mm-hmm.
by the way. Because how does your father look at you with pride if you have failed?
Shame, man. This time, don't feel like a failure. He's just descriptive.
The fact that you said, my father is my best friend,
mm.
there's no way he would have allowed you in that vulnerable space if you're not better than him.
Mm.
I can tell you now for free.
Thank you.
You are there together purely because, hey man, are you sure this child is mine?
Oh,
was she raised by me? Was she raised by, really? Did I give birth to this? Wow.
Mm.
And maybe, not only is he your best friend, but he is your best friend because you healed him from his past. Why? You're a better human being than he ever thought you would ever be. You have allowed him to give you what he couldn't get.
Mm.
Right? And then he's like, oh, it's possible.
What have you learned from your own children?
Patience. Because I'm impatient.
You're in 5D, man.
Listen. And again, to be present.
Mm.
if there's ever a gift my kids has ever given me, it's exactly that.
Mm.
As a parent, you are in constant worry of tomorrow.
Mm.
What if? Ish, maybe I should have taken that gig. Ish, did we really have to buy that car? Hey, what if? Constant worry. Even when things go well.
Yeah.
Right? So, my kids have given me the gift of presence. That when I'm home, be there, be in that moment. Even when I'm watching my favorite thing, should they come to me, I have learned to stop, pause, and give them time. They may need me just for 2 minutes. But you know that 2 minutes could be make or break.
Mm-hmm.
Because your children doesn't come with a warning sign to say, now what I'm going to share with you is vulnerable, so therefore give me attention. No. They come to you like a question. Because maybe of something they watched. They need your voice. You are the only voice that they trust. But you are just too busy. Now, where are they supposed to hear it from? That affirmation. That chastisement, even though gentle. Because they are there to test the boundaries of your wisdom. Because they want to learn. They don't know it yet. But imagine this, Elena. What you know now, right? Giving it. How old is your oldest?
So we've got 20 and then 18, 8. Oh, she's 9 now, 9 and 7.
Imagine your 9-year-old knowing what you know now.
Hmm.
I'm not saying it's too late for the others. No, 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 no,
no.
No. I'm just saying, just imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that pill, that your pill of wisdom. And you say, baby, drink this. You now know what I know. Imagine. They can travel the world without fear. They can ask without fear. Because fear stops everything, right?
Mm.
The boundaries of our walls is fear, right? All of those things, they now know now. It is their knowledge, it's their faculty, it's their wisdom now. Just imagine that. So, if then you are able to give it bit by bit, 2-3 minutes, 2-3 minutes a day, because they keep asking, inquiring, and you are able to stop whatever you think is important to give it to them. Are you aware what you are doing? You are giving them pause the book without them reading pause the book. You are giving them Elena.
Mm.
You're giving them their grandfather. All in one. And it is that talks about being present. When you say a present father, we're not talking about you having the money to raise the child. Money and time. Same equation.
Yeah.
Right? So if you are unemployed and your reason, not excuse, is that I don't have money, so therefore I can't see my child.
Mm-mm.
If you are a mother and you are denying him access because he's not working, you are failing your child. Because there's more to it. Provision is not only about money, it's about presence. What that child is gaining by just sitting with him, whether they're drinking water from the tap, dry mouth and all, ask your child how the day was. It's not about what they ate or where they have been. They'll tell you about the things he shared. Mm. Oh, no, daddy. Oh, daddy's so interesting. Oh, the stories he tells. Oh, my word. When can I see daddy again?
Mm.
You're like, oh. They didn't go to McD's. They didn't go to a mall.
Mm.
They didn't even watch a movie. Yet this child comes back blossoming. Why? Because they spend time that no money can buy.
How do I become a good father?
Be present.
Do you think mom should stay at home and look after the kids?
No. What about her dreams? What about her ambitions? We learn more. I learn more from my mother about the workings of the world than I did from my dad. Imagine if she was denied all of that. where would I be?
If you had to ask one of your five babies why they enjoy their father the most, like what's the most important part of having a dad, what would they say?
He's there. I can't speak for them, but he's there. They don't like my strictness, obviously.
I was also told that last night. You are too strict. Yeah. I was like, I've never heard your tea clap like that. See, she said.
So, at least from what I've seen, is the fact that he's around. There's nothing like when you call on, like you said, when you're driving. They say daddy, even though it's you driving. Do you know the faith? Because that's faith. That I know when I call.
Someone will, my kids, guys. Your kids. Ooh, they are so important.
God's gift.
Yay.
To try again.
It's the only prayer I have these days. It's for our children, eh?
My prayer is, you know why you gave them to me. But I need you to guide me.
Yay.
To take them where you want me.
Need to take them.
Exactly.
Please, God. People write books for different reasons. I mean, I have a whole library that I... Okay, it's my husband's library. But some of the books...
In community.
In our marriage, it is now also my library. But there's many books that belong to me. And half the time, I don't have time to read it, right? Mm-hmm. But this one's a keeper. Pause. You have to read the book. What do you want to achieve with this book? I mean, why did you initially write it?
I wanted it to be a conversation starter to be more...
But you're a DJ.
Well, DJ...
You're a man of God.
DJ is
you busy.
DJ is one of the things I
kids.
Do.
You're an engineer. Why write a book?
Broadcasting is the main thing I do. I wrote a book purely because I'm a conversationalist like you. We strike conversation, the conversations and so on. So how about we write something that when you read it, you can't help but put it down and say, Wait a minute.
As adults.
Kids to adults. And even kids to grandfather or grandparents, you know. What? Is this your experience too? Exactly. A point of reflection.
I love how you love your children. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just... I'm so excited for what our children will become. And that's why when you speak about your kids and their different talents, I get excited because they, you know, none of our kids will become the same thing.
No.
They will all excel in different things.
You're more than just one.
Oh, and my team also knows here, Mataba has, his kids are delicious. Like all the little ones here, you know, where we are conversating today. They're all different. We all experience each other's children, and I've become so proud. I feel really blessed. I feel really, really blessed. Pause. Are you making the right choices?
Yeah.
Tabo, Tibos, Mokwele. We're talking about fatherhood in South Africa, but I have had no questions around South Africa because I just wanted to know what's going on in his home so that we can relate, or so that we can build and achieve and dream and pause. I also want my kids to say that. If I had to ask them, what's the one thing you remember mommy doing in your life? I want them to say that she was present.
Yeah.
I'm a working mom, because moms work.
Yes.
But when I'm not at work, I'm present.
Yeah.
Tibos, why did you not ask me to write the foreword for this book?
Oh, do you read your emails?
A radio DJ, but someone who believes in still being challenged. This book is really for teens. It's for adults. It's a glimpse. It's a guide to living a life that is meaningful. And please, God, may you have a meaningful life. Please pick it up. Pause. Are you making the right choices? Tabo Tibos. Mokwele, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This podcast was supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. Epimax Baby and Junior is dermatologist approved, free of artificial colorants and fragrances, and is safe to use from birth. Touch, nourish, love your child's skin with Epimax Baby and Junior. Available from leading pharmacies and retail stores.